My Lord Chairman, Lord Krebs, my Lords, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to speak this evening and offer to you a practical response to Lord Krebs' report. As we said earlier, I'm Darren James, and at Costain, I'm the Executive Director responsible for the delivery of infrastructure. The majority of the work I engage in has the UK Government as my client. We have done much excellent work together. That is not to say there is not scope for improvement. And it is in this context that the report, which is the centre of our discussion this evening, is very welcome. My thanks, the industry's thanks, go to Lord Krebs and the members of the Science and Technology Committee and all of those who have assisted. Thank you. The first thing I want to say is that I absolutely agree with the implication of the report that, as written on the slide, early engagement by an intelligent customer of an appropriate supplier will provide the best opportunity for innovation to beneficially influence projects, resulting in optimum value for money. Identifying the need for an intelligent customer is particularly important. The definition given by Lord Bhattacharya in a report is particularly useful. I quote, "To be an intelligent customer, you have to understand the technology and potential added value opportunities, as well as effective procurement processes and financial rigour. To me as a supplier, it is important also that the customer states clearly output specification or purpose of the project and defines what is of value to them, identifying the relative merits of short-term cost, long-term cost, and whole life value. I need the intelligent customer also to select an appropriate supplier and to engage in the management of risk and the opportunity for innovation in ways that minimise cost and maximise value. I will return to this later. We are of course aware that there have been many reports recommending early supplier involvement, collaboration and so forth. Lord Krebs refers to them in the report and I've shown just a sample of them on the slide. Some go back a number of years. Progress has been made in areas, but we still struggle to achieve full implementation. A positive step in my industry, for example, from the 90s, is the NEC contract form, developed by the Institution of Civil Engineers, and I'm delighted that the government is mandating its use across significant areas of procurement. Another very positive step is that these reports are consistent in their messages. The recommendations for collaboration, use of procurement as a tool to shape the market for the better, to drive innovation, are all aligned. With this consistency, coming from a number of independent sources, there is real cause for hope that we are now at a turning point. So why is it, with this level of consistency in the messages, that there is an inconsistent record of embedding the recommendations in practice? I see a number of reasons, for instance, policy implementation, project delivery style, innovation and consistency in the drive for value. And it is with these points that Lord Krebs' report can help us. There is also an openness, particularly in the more recent reports, that government must take action as to how it operates. And with government as the dominant customer in the marketplace, becoming the intelligent lead customer, now surely the tide will turn, and I very much look forward to hearing what Sally has to say on the topic later. Lord Krebs' report stands out for its practicality because it gives us a clear understanding of innovation, a word widely used but less well understood. In my experience, change, and change is what the report requires, is best led by inspiring people towards collective objectives, or put another way, getting them to buy into the big picture, then helping them with their journey. This is a characteristic message of the report, and I can assure you that from my own experience of the groups involved and the change required, it is an effective approach. I can assure you also that Lord Krebs' statement that he will be back to check progress in 12 to 18 months will also be a motivator. It is particularly important also that Lord Krebs places competence at the top of the agenda. He recognises the importance of the intelligent customer. He consistently focuses decision-making responsibly back to those with the knowledge and the expertise. For example, he expects, I quote, government to use their knowledge of the fundamental workings of government to provide solutions. In other words, those who know best to do the job. This is a practical approach. In this vein, he sees a clear role for chief scientific advisors to bring their technical expertise to where it makes most difference. He is clear about where responsibility lies. He suggests a number of ministerial appointments. And he acknowledges the importance of relationships. He is clear about what good looks like, picking out specific examples. I too, in my remaining few minutes, would like to cite some case studies from my industry and my own personal experience, which I think is relevant to this report, particularly as Lord Crabbe focuses on the Highways Agency. And as I said at the outset, Highways forms a large part of my professional practice. Selecting the right form procurement is not straightforward. You need to consider the level of risk, the appetite for risk, and the scope for innovation, amongst other factors. Risk and innovation are set out on the left-hand side of this suggested matrix. The range of forms of procurement is also set out across the top of this matrix. I'm not going to detail about this matrix. However, in broad terms, there are some practical rules. This is my practical advice. Provided you procure within the rugby ball, and forgive me, I'm Welsh, you should be successful. Let me illustrate. If you have a simple project, such as a repeatable modular building, for instance, maybe a supermarket, you should be down in the left-hand corner and can procure on a commodity basis. However, if you are dealing with a one-off piece of complex infrastructure with interfaces, live operations, and existing physical assets, I refer to St. Pancras Station as an example, you should be using a procurement method which reflects this complexity, requiring a highly intelligent customer. Where it goes wrong, in my experience, is where these simple rules are broken. In particular, if a complex project is procured on too simple a basis, opportunity for innovation is lost, risk is overpriced, or if it comes to bear, delays the project, leads to expensive legal action, and can sometimes put the contractor out of business. None of which is helpful, I'm sure you agree. One feature of this I would like to point out is that the bigger suppliers are more able to operate in the area of the matrix above the rugby ball, and the smaller suppliers constrained to work in the lower part. This has a significant bearing on how we can engage SMEs in innovative projects. I hope this slide gives you some practical insight into procurement in a project environment. It certainly reinforces the messages of Lord Crabbe's report that clients need expertise and must engage in risk management if they are to deliver best value for our economy. I would like to give you some examples from my own experience as living proof of these ideas. The slide in front of you shows two highway schemes in South Wales procured using an early contractor involvement method. Both curves show the expected, on the left-hand side, the expected contract value of the executing of the work prior to the engagement of the contractor and the innovative methods that were brought to bear to deliver what was actually the contracted target cost on the right-hand side. One example, which is the red graph, for instance, when the contractor was first involved, the client thought he wanted a dual carriageway with 9 bridges, 7 kilometres long. What he actually needed was a single carriageway with 2 bridges, 7 kilometres long. The second solution delivered 99% of the benefits of the first solution. And yes, those of you amongst us will say he got an inferior product, but did he? Because what he got was a solution that is now being used by 20,000 people every day and the local community with which the bypass avoided. The other solution would not have been affordable and would not have existed. Engaging SMEs. We touched on the M25 earlier. Personal experience. Engaging an SME with an innovative method of traffic management through an early contractor involvement with the Highways Agency saved over £20 million on the widening of the A2, A282 at Dartford and the following M25 junction 1B-3. Engaging the SME within an environment where risk was shared admirably enabled us to form a programme that was much shorter than originally envisaged, and using, I think, the same technology that Lord Crabbe is referring to about queue prediction during temporary roadworks. The A34 at Wolvercourt. Early contractor involvement enabled the contractor to work with the Highways Agency to come up with an innovative method of construction, engaging a specialist SME to construct the viaduct in a temporary location alongside the permanent A34, therefore negating the need for permanent land take and avoiding completely the need for a public inquiry, saving 15% on the value of the scheme. To draw my presentation to a close, I would like to remind you of where we started. Early engagement by an intelligent customer of an appropriate supplier will provide the best opportunity for innovation to beneficially influence projects. We're going to have some dinner later, and I would like to maybe think about risk in this context and some food for thought potentially. I'd like to leave you with a statement. When risk is shared, it creates a collaborative approach that allows innovation to mitigate risks, which then do not materialize in the magnitude that they were originally feared. This approach, however, is predicated on mutual trust between trustworthy partners. Lord Chairman, Lord Krebs, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for listening to my practical response to what is a very practical report. It has been a pleasure to have your attention and to help with the debate.